This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Farmers are discovering crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois is a good fit for their farming operation. Albert Thompson of Perry County, Illinois, explains why he chose Farm Credit.
I took crop insurance out through Farm Credit Services, and they explained the programs well to me. I have no problem getting served well on claims and kept the wheels spinning in some rough, difficult times.
There's peace of mind in knowing your revenue is secure during volatile years.
I hear the statement from people that can't afford crop insurance. I can't afford not to have it, because when we go into planting a crop in the spring, I know the minimum amount of revenue I'm going to have at the end of the year. That's something I never had without it.
Crop insurance provides farmers the flexibility needed to meet the demands of today's farming operations.
I can't imagine farming without crop insurance. As much capital is involved today, I'd have to reevaluate everything I do.
Call us at 800-444-FARM. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 753, up 7.5. May wheat trading at 761.25, up 6.75. March corn trading at 697.75, up 3.5. May corn trading at 695.75, up 2. January soybeans trading at 1421.75, up 2. March beans trading at 1387.5, up 2. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat closed at 745.5, down a nickel. May wheat closed at 754.5, down 5.75. July wheat closed at 761.5, down 5.75. March corn yesterday closed at 694.25, up 5.5. May corn closed at 693.75, up a nickel. July corn closed at 688.25, up 5.25. January soybeans yesterday closed at 1419.75, up 6. March beans closed at 1385.5, down a penny. And May beans closed at 1375.25, down 3/4. January soybean meal yesterday closed at 411.30, up 7. March meal closed at 409.60, down 13. May meal closed at 402.60, down a dime. January soybean oil yesterday closed at 49.24, up a dime. March oil closed at 49.64, up 11. May oil closed at 50.07, up 12. March oats yesterday closed at 336.5, up 4.75. And May oats closed at 342, up a nickel. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. Illinois country grain prices did end mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with corn higher and soybeans and wheat futures mostly lower. Trading activity was slower again today due to the approaching USDA reports to be released on Friday morning. In northern and western Illinois, country grain deals quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents stronger at 675 to 688, but soybeans dropped 1 to 3 cents at 1370 to 1394. In central Illinois, country grain deals quoted shell corn bids mostly 4 to 5 higher at 686 to 706, while soybeans ended mixed at 1391 to 1407. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids gained 5 to 8 cents at 675 to 614. 675 to 714. Soybeans dropped a penny at 1405 to 1423, with wheat prices down 4 to 6 at 725 to 751. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bins ended mixed, ranging from 14.20 to 14.25. Basis ended steady to 5 cents stronger, ranging from 35 to 40 over the March. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis ended mixed on Wednesday, ranging from 427.60 to 433.60. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 6 to 12 cents at 704 to 718, with basis steady to 6 cents stronger, ranging from 10 to 24 over the March. Illinois River Barns Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 6 cents higher at 696 to 699. Basis ended steady, ranging from 2 to 5 over the March. Soybeans up 1 to 2 at 425 to 433, with basis 2 to 3 cents stronger at 40 to 48 over the March. New crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery fell 6 cents at 719 to 736, but basis ended steady at 42 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 6 cents higher at 677 to 694. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by a penny, with quotations at 1436 to 1446. Soft red winter wheat down 5 at 757 to 758, while Milo ended 4 cents higher at 658 to 659. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in northern and western Illinois range from 536 up to 547. New crop bean bids at 1239 to 1249. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 542 to 562, new crop beans at 1248 to 1263, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 539 up to 566, new crop beans at 1228 up to 1259, and the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery, those bids range from 714 up to 732. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. February hogs closed at 84.20, down 215. April hogs closed at 87.32, down 262. May hogs closed at 94.70, down 205. February cattle yesterday closed at 131.55, down a dollar. April cattle closed at 135.35, down 95. June cattle closed at 130.47, down 87. January feeder cattle yesterday closed at 151.50, down 122. March feeders closed at 153.77, down 122. April feeders closed at 155.57, down a dollar. Right now, we'll update the cash livestock markets.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt, hog report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis, 63 cents higher. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of 74 to 84, with a weighted average carcass price of $82.54. From the Illinois Direct Sow report, slaughter sows were trading lower. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were at 40 to 43, 400 to 500 pound sows at 41 to 47, the 500 to 550 pounds, 44 to 47, and over 550 pounds, 48 to 49. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and kilts at country buying points traded lower, ranging from 53 to 57.50. Receipts for Illinois hogs totaled 19,509 head. In cattle trading in Illinois, the opening report from the Greenville Livestock Auction in Greenville for Wednesday, receipts estimated at 640 head. Steers and heifers were trading 50 cents to a dollar higher, and Holstein steers were untested in early trading. Slaughter steers were trading at 125 to 130, with select grades at 120 to 124.50. Slaughter heifers were trading at 125 to 128, with selects at 124. The cattle trading in Illinois at Fairview Auction, they had receipts of 576 head. Choice steers ranged from 127 to 132.50. The select and choice at 120 to 126.50. Choice heifers traded 127 to 132.50, and select and choice at 120 to 123.50. Moving on to the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, they had receipts of 581 head. and this compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a dollar higher. Choice steers range from 126 to 131, with selects and choice at 122 to 125. Choice slaughter Holstein steers traded at 115 to 121, and the selects to choice at 107 to 114. Choice heifers traded at 125 to 131, and select and choice heifers at 119 to 125. From the National Car Lot Pork Report, trading was moderate today, with 131 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $83.05, which was 63 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses at $193.55, which is 43 cents lower, and select carcasses at $183.53, that's 22 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection for Wednesday, cattle was estimated at 123,000 compared to 127,000 for last week and 126,000 for a year ago. The hog slaughter was estimated at 428,000, which compares to 430,000 last week and 425,000 for a year ago. On to United Producers Weekly Hay Auction in Shelbyville. They showed receipts of 803 bales, starting with the alfalfa premium quality. They traded at $8 to $8.50. And alfalfa mixed grass good quality ranged from $3 to $5. And the mixed grass good quality sold for $4 to $5. This concludes the afternoon livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.45 unchanged; for block cheese, $1.72 unchanged; for barrel cheese, $1.69 unchanged; and the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Wednesday, $18. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.97; for February, $6.85. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $6.89; for February, $6.85. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $14.16; for February, $14.03. And wheat delivered to Scottville for January, $7.22. Call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888 for more information. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $6.97. Corn at Scottville, $6.89. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.16. Wheat at Scottville, $7.22. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning. Right now, color radar showing a large band of showers covering southern Illinois south of Route 104. This moving slowly to the north. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Hi, I am Greg Urie from M&M Service Company. You don't need to tell me that farming is a difficult business. What you need are the experts at M&M Service Company. For all your agronomic needs, to fuel, propane, turf, and agri-financing, M&M Service Company is your one-stop shop. Our team is knowledgeable about every aspect of your farming operation and can make farming a whole lot easier. Call your local M&M Service Company office at Macoupin, Madison, or Montgomery County today and find out how our team can help you make the business of farming easier. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Whether you're a municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services, your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at ctemi.com.
Cloudy skies today with occasional showers possible. High temperatures in the low 50s with east winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, occasional showers, low temperatures in the mid 40s. For tomorrow, Friday, becoming partly cloudy, high temperatures in the upper 50s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday: partly cloudy and colder, a slight chance of snow on Sunday. Low temperatures falling to the low 20s, highs in the low 30s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have east winds at 5 miles per hour, the barometric pressure falling, cloudy skies, and we have a temperature of 40 degrees. And this check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Envirofoam of America, by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by the CHS Service Center of Louder. On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. We discussed factors affecting the grain trade. He went over what could affect grains in the near future.
Well, I think this is going to be a pivotal time because what's happening in Washington, the debt ceiling talks will likely be nastier than what the fiscal cliff talks were. That's going to occupy the news stream in the month of February, I believe, and make it very tough for the markets as a whole. If the grains get good numbers from USDA, that could set them apart as a more desired market asset class relative to the more economically sensitive asset classes and draw more money into them, allowing prices to rise. If we don't get those numbers, the grains could get drugged down by the outside markets over the next couple of months.
Boy, it's amazing how the grain trade is so much affected by outside factors.
Absolutely. It's all about big money these days. Right now, there's about $35 billion worth of net ownership of corn, soybeans, and wheat by the outside funds. That was as high as almost $65 billion, just shy of $65 billion, as harvest began this last fall. That's how much money can flow in and out of the grains.
And in a very short time, too.
Absolutely. You can take $10 billion out of that fund money, out of the grains, in just a few days' time.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Now that the dairy cliff has been avoided, what does the outlook for 2013 look like for dairy farmers? Dr. Mark Stevenson of the University of Wisconsin Center for Dairy Profitability thinks it will be a good year for dairy farmers.
I'm actually forecasting that it's likely to be a better year for most dairy producers. Better because we do expect milk prices to be higher than they were last year. For Wisconsin, I'm forecasting something like a dollar average higher price. And we're forecasting feed prices to be lower. So soybean meal futures markets are showing about $70 a ton less than what they were this year. And corn prices, by the time we get to next harvest season, could be as much as a dollar a bushel lower. So between those two things, better milk price, lower feed cost, should be a better year for dairy producers.
According to Dr. Stevenson, producers need to know their cost of production because the dairy industry is very complex and mistakes in marketing are very expensive.
It's a complex industry and it's expensive to make mistakes. So knowing your cost of production is a very good thing to do, and be prepared to think about marketing your product and maybe hedging some of the price risk if you feel pretty vulnerable to it.
Dr. Stevenson says one of the complexities of the dairy industry is the effects that Australia and New Zealand milk production can have on United States and world prices. The United States is locked in partisanship, and it's very hard to reach across the aisle and find common sense solutions, especially for conservation, according to former Secretary of the Interior Gail Norton. That is why she has joined the Conservation Leadership Council, an organization committed to addressing the nation's environmental challenges through the application of conservative principles, policies, and approaches. The Conservation Leadership Council is unveiling a set of important policy papers that offer private-public partnership solutions for conservation at an event in Washington, D.C. Norton says the CLC does not want big government solutions, rather ideas that can appeal across the board based on fiscal responsibility, limited government, market entrepreneurship, community leadership, and public-private partnerships. Unfortunately, according to Ms. Norton, the United States has not been applying the expertise that made America great to the challenges of environmental protection.
Too often, our programs are based on top-down solutions. Instead, I think it's much better to solve environmental problems by involving those people who know most about things on the ground. When you're talking about wildlife habitat conservation, for example, it makes a lot more sense to capture the expertise of farmers and ranchers than have all the ideas come from people sitting behind a desk in Washington.
Since her time in the Department of the Interior, Ms. Norton has focused on cooperative conservation, people in local communities working together to sustain the livelihoods and heritage while finding innovative ways to protect the environment. This concept is something that is important to the CLC and to future stewardship.
That long history of entrepreneurship on behalf of the environment is something that we ought to capture. The Conservation Leadership Council went out to people who are thought leaders who write about these kinds of things and asked them to submit their best ideas. We have gone through those and had some really great proposals. We are working on getting those polished and will be soon unveiling those and helping put those into the dialogue about conservation in this country.
When talking about energy development, Ms. Norton says the impacts on land and wildlife can best be addressed by cooperative approaches.
If you have a partnership between farmers and ranchers and energy developers, you can find ways of protecting wildlife by, for example, having the energy companies work with farmers and ranchers, provide some compensation to enhance habitat on the farms and ranches as a way of dealing with environmental issues. That's something that can happen through cooperative approaches and helps protect jobs, helps encourage our nation's economy, at the same time making sure that we have local community involved.
Ms. Norton says working with farmers and ranchers to conserve and better use water resources also offers important opportunities when the country faces serious droughts. She says the nation should begin by recognizing existing water ownership and then encouraging voluntary markets and partnerships. For more information, go to www.leadingwithconservation.org. Thousands of members of the nation's largest farm organization are preparing to meet for the American Farm Bureau's annual meeting. The American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman explains the importance of the event in this report from the AFBF's Jonna Miller.
When close to 6,000 Farm Bureau members gather in Nashville this weekend for the organization's 94th annual meeting, there'll be a lot to do. But American Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman says there are two primary goals.
One is provide an opportunity for our members from all across the country to meet up with old friends, to make new friends, to have a lot of discussion about issues and get information about things and hear some interesting speakers. And then there's the business part, which requires the delegates to come in and to make the important policies and organizational decisions for the future of the organization.
Stallman says determining those policy goals is the proof of the organization's strong grassroots.
I don't know how you can be any more grassroots than Farm Bureau. We have 2,800 county and parish level organizations which are focused on doing things to promote agriculture and discuss policy. And then our 51 states, which includes Puerto Rico, get together and have the input from their counties as they make decisions to forward to the American Farm Bureau Federation. So it's a three-level process. Ultimately, the decisions that guide us as an organization have all been derived from our members.
And while it's sometimes hard to predict the hot topics, Stallman says there are a few sure things.
I'm sure we'll have some discussion of renewable fuels and the fuels versus feed issue. We'll probably will have some discussion about tax issues, given what has just happened with the U.S. Congress. Regulatory issues will always be high on the agenda. Given the possibility this time that we may actually have significant movement in the U.S. Congress on the issue, immigration reform and how we have an adequate guest worker program will probably be another important topic.
And the purpose of the policy decisions is to give the organization a clear direction for the year ahead. Stallman says that's especially important with a new Congress up on Capitol Hill.
We literally have roughly 5,000 farmers and ranchers actually come to Washington, D.C. to visit with their individual members of Congress and their United States senator to talk about the policies that were important. And that constituent contact and them making the effort to come to Washington really carries a lot of weight up on the Hill.
In other farm news this morning, House Agriculture Committee ranking member Colin Peterson does not intend to mark up a new farm bill until the House leadership guarantees farm policy legislation will be debated on the floor this year. Without that commitment, Peterson said Democrats won't work on a bill. House Ag Chair Frank Lucas has said he also would like a commitment from the leaders in both chambers that a farm bill will come to a vote this year. But he added that he doesn't see how a farm bill markup can take place at the same time as the next swarm is swirling over the debt ceiling and everything else. Peterson has suggested additional extensions of current law may be needed until the impasse with leadership is resolved. An agricultural meteorologist says heavy rain is headed for the U.S. Delta, extending into central Texas. Commodity Weather Group meteorologist Joel Widener says the rain should bring improved soil moisture for the southern plains slightly, but says only very light showers are expected in the drought areas of the Midwest and the central plains. The strong storm system was to begin late Tuesday and push into Missouri and Illinois by today. According to meteorologist Don Keeney, Arkansas, Louisiana, and East Texas can expect 2 to 4 inches of rain. Oklahoma will likely see an inch or less. Keeney is also concerned about threats of winter kill in the plains' winter wheat region. He says warm weather in the plains this week will melt snow cover and leave the hard red winter crop unprotected against a cold snap. He said western Nebraska and northern Colorado could see temperature readings of 0 to below 0, which is on the winter kill threshold. Meteorologists at the Commodity Weather Group do not share the same concern. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Right now at the Weather Center on this Thursday morning, we have cloudy skies, 40 degrees. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 752, up 6.5. May wheat trading at 760.5, up 6. March corn trading at 697.75, up 3.5. May corn trading at 696.25, up 2.5. January soybeans trading at 1420, up 0.25. March beans trading at 1385.75, up 0.25. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, by Envirofoam of America, and by the CHS Service Center of Louder.